The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
And this is the Bill Myers Show.
And he is Mr. Outdoors, the outdoors game of love. Just a little ode to the bumper song there, Mr. Outdoors. And Greg Roberts from RogueWeather.com. Outdoor report every Friday, and that is sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. And Mr. Outdoors, of course, RogueWeather.com. And, you know, Greg, I don't know if we're going to be able to survive this weekend, though, because it's never been hotter, just like in the wintertime. It's never been colder, never been snowier, never been droughtier. It's never been worse than it is right now. And but, you know, we'll try to power through this anyway. I am just being a little sarcastic.
Attention span is the name of the game. I mean, I see it repeatedly. People can't even remember things that happened last year.
Heck, I have trouble remembering some of the stuff from last year. The news cycle can just wash the brain out, so to speak. It fills it with new garbage, I guess.
You know, and honestly, the other thing that people clearly don't remember that happened in the not-too-distant far reaches of the past... I'd have to look it up, but I want to say it was 3 years ago. We were in the midst of one of the hottest Junes I can certainly ever remember, a June that wound up seeing us tie our all-time record high in Medford, and that was in June. Mm-hmm. And everybody just knew the rest of the summer was going to be incredibly hot, and then it turned out June was the heat of summer, and we didn't even get back to anything close to the type of temperatures we saw in June. So, you know, the other thing in terms of the national thing, because believe me, when it gets hot on the East Coast, the media will start telling you, oh, this is the hottest it's ever been. And my wife, Terry, found a post that somebody had found from the Weather Channel, and I forget what year it was, but it definitely... 97. Yeah, 97, showing temperatures on July 15th in 97 as hot as what they're seeing right now. So all of this, it's never been this hot. Take it with a grain of salt because, well, there's so much hyperbole that goes into this. It isn't even funny. And then the other thing that they're counting on is you're not even going to remember what happened last month, let alone what happened back in the 80s and 90s.
By the way, I have to ask you, you know, if you're a real weather guy, why aren't you telling me to stay hydrated this morning?
I don't know. I think most people can figure it out on their own, and also,
you know, I'm having fun. You know, I'm having fun with you, Greg. Right? You know that, right?
Okay. But I'm just stating for the record. You know, people go, "Yeah, why isn't it?" Well, because A, most people will figure it out on their own without having to be told to do it, and B, by our standards, really not that hot, and not nearly as hot as what it could be.
I remember as a kid growing up, you know, back in the bad old days in Pittsburgh, in the Pittsburgh area. And Pittsburgh, of course, had that Three Rivers area mugginess. It's like, ugh.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we lived by the Allegheny River, you know, near New Kensington. Yep. And I remember the way that the basement of our little house was the place to go. It was my grandma's house. We were living with her when I was a little boy. The basement was the place to go because every place else was miserable. There wasn't as much air conditioning in those days.
Right.
But that hot, you know, you'd get up in the upper 80s there with about 80% humidity. Ew, my goodness. You just have to wring out your clothes.
You know,
right?
Honestly, we don't have to go to Pittsburgh and the Three Rivers area to feel what that is like. Just go up to Portland,
yep.
You know, anywhere up in the Portland area, and when the temperature starts getting up into the upper 80s and higher, the amount of ambient moisture in the air because of the rivers, the Willamette and the Columbia, you'll be able to feel exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's a natural phenomenon, really. Okay, so what are we looking at for the next few days here? Because I was looking at some of the long-term stuff out of the National Weather Service just out of curiosity the other day. And long-term, it looks like we were going to be getting quite back to a cooler situation in late June, early July, maybe. But maybe I'm misreading some of that long-term stuff.
Well, no, you're not misreading, and that's actually very much the way it's looking. I mean, you know... the harder part is when you're out in time like that, it's a little harder to define where those warmer days are going to be and where those cooler days are going to be, because in the more short term, in the, you know, what I'm going to say up to 10-day outlook right now, we are able to get a better look at that and definitely can see we're going to have some peaks and we're going to have some dips and we're going to be kind of bouncing around on temps. We're not going to stay locked in very long in temps in one particular range. There's going to be a lot of swing happening, which okay. Now that we're officially in summer, you wouldn't normally think that would be the case, but you know, it appears that is going to be the case for us. So, yeah, the nice part about that is we don't set up into any prolonged periods of either cooler than average and definitely, to everyone's relief, hotter than average. So, you know, like I said, there's going to be some swing. And just looking at it over the course of the next, you know, 7 days for sure, we're going to be seeing you know, I think our hottest days, the way it's lining out right now, will be that, what I'm going to call that 96 to 98 degree range. And then we'll have other days where we're going to be bouncing back into what would be seasonal, you know, mid 80s. There are a couple of days coming in the future that look like we'll wind up being maybe even slightly below average with a temperature of near 80 expected in Medford.
You know, in other words, you're telling us it's going to be summer in the Rogue Valley. All right.
Well, it's going to be summer, but it's still, there's a lot of volatility to it that we wouldn't normally expect to see in summer.
I was reading a post the other day.
We've got more stability in the temperatures.
Okay, let me just bring up something that that I was reading a scientific journal the other day, and I probably should have printed it out. But they were talking about the influence and what people don't talk about nearly enough. They're always bleating about carbon, you know, like they are in the city of Ashland. Right. We're going to ban natural gas and then we'll cool the planet, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
but. What this scientist was talking about is that essentially the solar storms and the increase in sun activity and the sunspots. And, of course, remember, we've been talking about what have we been talking about seeing, the northern lights out there.
Yeah.
In the that's a lot of energy being thrown at the planet's atmosphere. And it tends to now, does it actually cause, I think the cosmic rays end up causing, is it more cloud cover or less cloud cover? I think it's less cloud cover overall. I forget.
Well,
but they were talking about driving temperature, temporary weather swings, just because of these storms coming out of off the sun, essentially.
And it stands to reason, because increased sun activity would make you think that it automatically translates to higher temperatures. And sometimes it does. There are also times, though, where it does not. And a great deal of it depends on where is that solar flare activity happening at. And, you know, as we've literally increased our reach and vision into space, we're picking up on a lot more solar activity. And so because of that, there's now, you know, NOAA has their space weather division. And they're issuing bulletins all the time now about these increased solar flares. But they do that to grab the headline and get people's attention. And most people are not ever actually going to go in depth. And since we had that really rare outbreak of the northern lights to be able to be seen, you know, here, for example, at a time of the year where I don't remember the last time you really could see them with the naked eye here at that time of the year. Most of the activity has happened on portions of the sun that it seems like, yeah, you would think, oh my goodness, well, the earth is going to cook. Well, the activity and the burst seem to be going not directly at us. So,
all right.
Now we're getting into some pretty uncharted areas, because we really haven't had a lot of detailed weather records over a great period of time. Like, for example, Medford going back only to 1911. We're just now really beginning to develop an understanding of what's going on up there with the sun. We haven't really had good, detailed, long-term observations on it. So while, yes, increased solar activity can affect temperatures here, don't think that it's a guarantee that it will.
Yeah, because sometimes the solar activity can create, well, sometimes the solar activity can create more cloud cover, right?
It can, but, you know, I think most people are looking at it as it's going to generate heat, because people have thrown things at me like there's like an old wives type thing that if we get, you know, Northern Lights displays late in the spring, it always means a hot summer.
Uh-huh.
No, that doesn't always mean a hot summer. It won't always necessarily mean more cloud cover. There's a lot more factors that go into everything than that. And it's just, you know, in terms of really being able to see and determine what's going on, we haven't had nearly enough experience to start immediately stating, okay, if it's doing this, we're going to get this.
Okay, great. All right, Greg, let me make sure that we hit the high points, too. I know we kind of got off on the weeds on some of the climate stuff, but I can't help it that, you know, the headlines just continue to come into my email box all the time, and it's just pushing it and pushing it and pushing it. It's never been hotter. It's never been
preying on two things.
Yeah.
People's ignorance and people's lack of any kind of being able to remember anything.
Yeah.
And so fear is the greatest motivator in clickbait. All the clickbait stuff is always, especially where it comes to natural world science, will always have a big fear component.
I've never seen the clickbait that says, you know, it's never been better. Have a great day. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Nobody's ever going to look at it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So let's talk about where to go for fishing and fun this weekend. Like I said, it's going to be a little bit warm, but it's a good time to get out early. Maybe do a little fishing on the mountain lakes, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. And, you know, again, we're not getting those really hot conditions that is warming up the water dramatically and turning the fishing off. Fishing, I mean, it still is holding up really well. And over at the coast, when you're able to get out in the mornings and get out on the ocean and go fishing, fishing has been really good. And now in Brookings, salmon fishing is definitely picking up. They're getting into cohos. And yes, they are able to have a retention on hatchery coho out of Brookings this year. So the coho fishing has been really good over there. But the Chinooks are starting to show up because there's a lot of food source out there in the water. And one of the operations over there that I follow, they got their first what I would call really good Chinook of the season on the boat. I want to say this would be Wednesday now. Fish that was in the upper 20-pound range. I think it was 28. So we're starting to see the better quality Chinook showing up. So, yeah, when you get those periods where we don't have the small craft or if we don't have the gale conditions, and small craft situations are almost always afternoon and evening, just like we get our winds picking up here in the inland area, you know, you can get out there in the morning and you can get into some great fishing. Bottom fishing is always going to be good. Crabbing has been good. But that salmon fishery is definitely picking up in Brookings. There's no two ways around that, especially on cohos. People are definitely getting limits on coho. So, again, watch your ocean conditions, but if you've got favorable seas, and especially in the mornings, if all we're expecting are small craft conditions, you can get out in the morning and you can get a lot of fishing done before the surface, you know, gets too chopped up.
All right. Hey, Greg, I wanted to touch on the fires there. We had a couple of fires, Highway 62 yesterday. Looks like they are, you know, getting on that pretty much here. Yep. And Keith ended up wanting to ask a question. So I know you pay attention to the fires a lot. We had the Applegate fire. He was wondering about the aircraft availability for this year's fires, and he was thinking not very good because only two helicopters on the Applegate fire. Would you concur with that, or what do you think overall?
Well, no, and, you know, honestly, they split resources, and I saw that popping up. People were freaking out because they didn't see helicopters yet at ODF on Table Rock Road, and there wasn't an air tanker sitting in Medford, and they just immediately assumed assumed that we didn't have any air support. Actually, we did. Kroman is based here. They put birds in the air that worked both fires. We've got Timberland helicopters based here. They put birds in the air that worked both fires. And Ericsson, you know, even though they sold the helicopter fleet, they're still doing maintenance on their former birds. And one of them was ready to go, and they put it up and in the air, and I believe that one was working out in the Applegate. Air tankers came in from Redmond. They had a lead plane come in from Redmond, and they actually released the air tankers long before operational window would have closed last night on the Applegate fire. So, you know, again, you look at what you have available, and it was far better than most people think, because people aren't thinking about the other places where helicopters are here.
So don't be concerned. Okay. That's all I was looking for.
Air resources, honestly, that kind of speaks to the lower volume of fire activity around the nation, and preparedness level is still at 2 nationally, when at this time of the year, it pretty typically will be 3, can be as high as 4. And because it was 2, we had resources here, quote unquote, at home that might have been elsewhere in the country working fires. They were available for our local situations, and specifically that's Kroman and the former Ericsson helicopters, because I can't remember the name of the company that bought the helicopters and the service units from Ericsson. Ericsson made the decision they're going to focus on being a building and maintenance company, and they sold off their aerial firefighting and then, of course, heavy lift fleet.
All right. Hey, Greg, I appreciate the update here. They're going to get a hold of or get a handle on that fire in Applegate, right? It's not going to.
Yeah, they will, because there's just so many resources available.
That's what I was thinking.
Here in the region and in Oregon. So I'm not concerned about it. And, you know, both of the fires, what they had in common, they got started in areas with a ton of lighter, flashier fuels that at the time of day with our usual wind going, it did what we always see it do in grass. The fires ran. And then as soon as the winds died down and the temperatures dropped, fire activity decreased pretty dramatically,
yep.
And they knew that was going to happen, and especially with the Applegate, they put in a big order for the night shift last night to take advantage of that to get ahead of the fire coming back to life today. So I don't know quite yet where we stand out with the Applegate situation, but I knew last night by the time I went to bed around 10:30, they already had the fire along 62. They'd put the brakes to it, and they were shifting into mop-up mode directly on that fire last night. So the Applegate fire is going to be the focus of what they're going to be doing today, and then building off of whatever they were able to accomplish last night. But I don't see this necessarily as a big sign that we're going to have a bad fire season. In fact, I just went and looked before we came on the air, and 7-day fire prediction is that we are still going to see low levels of fire activity. That doesn't mean no, and that doesn't mean we can't have a situation like what developed yesterday, especially in grass and smaller diameter brush, because we could. But big fires getting established in heavy timber, no, there's still a small chance of that. And that fire in the Applegate, I saw some pictures people posted, and it looked like it got established into standing timber. Well, unfortunately, out in the Applegate, there's a lot of standing dead red.
Yep.
And I really want to get out there and take a look and see if it's getting into that. And if it is, then that fire is actually going to wind up being beneficial.
All right. Well, I appreciate the take on it, Mr. Outdoors. Outdoor Report, sponsored by Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. And, you know, Greg, we between the fire and everything else, something we need to I'm going to put you to work on this, and I know you're going to be loaded for bear next Friday, and it's going to be taking apart the rings around the moon kind of stuff. And
well, yeah, rings around the moon, rings around the sun.
And, of course, how jet boats are destroying the environment on the Upper Rogue and everywhere else, right?
Yeah, which, ironically, that was actually supposed to be the focus of our discussion today, but other things. So,
you know,
yeah, we'll do that next Friday.
Yeah, but in other words, I'm just we'll just kind of dig into it because this issue is still going. And if I hear one more person who writes, oh, Bill, you don't understand, they're destroying it. It's like, if it was really being destroyed, gangrene sues over non-serious stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think they'd be doing if they were truly destroying the salmon beds? Come on, connect the dots here a little bit, folks. Just saying.
Or maybe we do a special conspiracy theory Thursday, Mr. Outdoors edition.
Hey, you know, that might be worth it. I'll get back to you on that. All right, Greg?
Okay,
take
sounds
care.
Good.
Have a great weekend. Greg over at rogueweather.com, and maybe we'll have, yeah, Conspiracy Theory Thursday Outdoor Report. That would be different, huh? It's 7:34.
Two Dogs Fabricating knows trailers. They sell trailers and repair trailers. So if you'd like your trailer inspected, bring it to the dogs, and they'll sniff it out. Two Dogs will check the axles, hitch, tongue, lights, bed, brakes, and more to make sure your trailer's roadworthy. Most trailers on the road are fine, but it's good to have it checked out once a year. They'll scrutinize crucial welds for corrosion and cracks, too. And if you need any repairs, you'll get a quick, reasonable estimate. Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way, off Sage in Medford.
Whether you've had your car for a few months or many years, most people take pride in their vehicles and take good care of them. So when an accident happens, Lithia Body and Paint knows you want it back on the road fast, looking better than ever. Since 1946, Lithia Body and Paint has been putting minor dings and major collisions in the rearview mirror. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint. Repair so good, it's like it never happened. Find them on Bullock Road just off Crater Lake Highway in Medford. Lithia Body and Paint.
Well, you know it's Orlis Stove and Spas. We both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why. You ought to stop and see our friend.
Hey, Lamont here. It's time to spring into summer with a new splash-around pool from Orleys. Don't get caught high and dry this summer. Come into Orleys now and purchase your new pool before they are all gone. Splash-around pools are easy to assemble on most any level surface, and they can be assembled in about an hour with no tools required. Whether it's a spa, swim spa, or above-ground pool, Orleys Stoves and Spas has something for everyone. Come in to ask us about our Orleys easy financing programs. And for those of you considering a wood or pellet stove for next season, come in to ask us about our current 30% tax credit on qualifying wood stoves, pellet stoves, and installation. Orleys Stoves and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway. Or find us online at Orleys.com or at 541-779-5340.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
It's heating up outside. Hi, this is Lisa from Kelly's Automotive Service in Grants Pass in Medford. And now is the time to check your air conditioning and cabin air filters. A clogged filter can affect the performance of your air conditioning, and you want your family breathing the freshest air possible. As summer goes on, suppliers start charging more for Freon, so now is a great time to get in. Call us for an appointment today. You can find us online at kellysautomotive.com. Kelly's Automotive Service, where we service your vehicle, but take care of you.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMET.
Supreme Court issuing some decisions this morning on gun rights. One came up. Just wanted to get that. It happened just a few minutes ago. Erlinger v. the United States. And SCOTUS blog reporting by Justice Gorsuch appears to be a 6-3 decision with Kavanaugh dissenting, joined by Alito and in part by Jackson, who also has a dissenting opinion. The question before the court was whether in the Armed Career Criminal Act, it imposes mandatory prison terms on some defendants who have committed 3 violent felonies or serious drug offenses. And a judge should use a preponderance of the evidence standard. Oh, that's a different case. All right, I'll skip this one. Okay, it's a little bit confusing. The blog is moving here at the moment here, but essentially, they upheld the domestic violence ban on people who have been convicted of domestic violence having firearms rights. And so that has been upheld by the court. Still nothing on the Grants Pass homelessness case. I guess that'll be sometime next week in which that's going to be coming up. And we'll catch up more on that here in just a minute. Coming up also in a couple of minutes, we're going to delve into something else. This has to do with the controversy in Josephine County over 4-H OSU Extension Service. Of course, there's a tax. There's money involved with this one. And a lot of people have been deserting 4-H because essentially Oregon State University is being run by a bunch of wokesters that seem to be more concerned about what pronouns your kid are using and having transgender people teaching the people what's going on. I mean, is this what you need to have? You have to have this agenda in your 4-H group in order to learn how to farm and take care of animals? I don't know. And what actually was promised? And we'll talk with state representative and, of course, Grants Pass City Councilor Dwayne Yunker here about that real soon.
Coming to the Jackson County Expo on June 22nd, it's the Patriot event of the summer. MOGA, Make Oregon Great Again. Experience a powerful lineup of speakers and inspirational talent, including host Mike Lindell, Dave Duquette, and Nashville recording artist Mark McKay, taking the stage to ignite change and inspire hope for Oregon's future through commitment to the conservative cause. Tickets and information for this energizing event at jcor.gop/MOGA. That's jcor.gop/MOGA. Make a difference and be part of something powerful at MOGA, June 22nd at the Jackson County Expo.
Got a mess with the IRS or a tax date with the state? You may need representation. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com. First Response Resolution, your local tax resolution experts in Eagle Point, defending your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com. News is sponsored by Millette Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletteConstruction.com.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. More heat records could be broken today as high temperatures and humidity persist. It'll be especially hot in the mid-Atlantic this weekend. President Biden issued a disaster declaration for New Mexico as it deals with two wildfires. The blazes have forced the evacuation of thousands of residents. Flooding is a problem in southern China, where heavy rains have killed at least 9 people. Parents across Europe are rallying to make it normal for young kids to live smartphone-free. From Spain to Ireland and Britain, parents are agreeing to link arms and refuse to buy smartphones for children younger than age 12. South Korea is unhappy about North Korea's new defense agreement with Russia. The South views the Mutual Security Pact as a threat to its own security. This is SRN News.
Government debt is now exploding by an unprecedented $1 trillion every 90 days. Think of that. It's a clear sign that our nation's finances are spinning out of control, and it's putting the savings of every one of you at risk. Hello, I'm Lance Wallnau, a news analyst and best-selling author and an evangelical leader. I'm deeply concerned about the impact this runaway debt is going to have on Christians like you who have worked hard to build your own nest egg for your family. To protect your financial future in these uncertain times, you need to diversify with something tangible and proven, like physical gold. That's why I recommend a gold IRA. To learn more, text FAITH to the number 989898, and my friends at Birch Gold Group will rush you a free info kit on how to move your IRA or 401k to physical precious metals, tax and penalty free. So don't wait. Just text the word FAITH to 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs. Birch Gold Group is the only company I trust. There's no obligation. So text FAITH to 989898, and I pray this information helps you achieve prosperity and peace of mind.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
One of each Forte VIN 785-766, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 237299, MSRP 22140-3500, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt, negative equity applied to new loan balance, and 63024.
Thinking about a new ride? It's time to trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford during the Summer Sticker Sales Event. Hurry in to get more cash for your trade. trade-in. Then trade up and save on our huge Kia selection, like a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find a Kia you really want, like Fortes or Souls. Just $139 a month. Trade in, trade up, and save at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
743. State Representative Dwayne Yunker, he's also a Grants Pass City Councilor, joins me this morning. Dwayne, wanted to talk a bit about the Josephine County 4-H Extension Service District and the tax base, which was passed by voters a number of years ago. And there's been some controversy there about whether to reauthorize or impose the tax on people, given what's been going on with the 4-H and the County Extension Service and the Oregon State University influence on said. And why don't you break down a little bit of your concern here this morning, if you don't mind?
Okay, well, let's start with the measure. The measure was 1758. It was in 1996 and was passed to the voters. You can pull this up. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah, I have it in front of me. I actually pulled it up because I wasn't sure. I'm glad you referenced this because I wasn't paying attention in 96, you know, when this ended up getting passed. But what's it all about, please?
Well, you know, let's just go with the purpose of this measure was to fund 4-H youth. That's in the very first paragraph in the summary. So we hear a lot of, well, what's about the Master Gardeners? Well, that's a volunteer program kind of at the end, but this is for 4-H youth. And I would say that our county commissioners have really opened my eyes because I started doing some research and I have, and what is the OSU Extension doing and what are their goals to our children? And, you know, I've sent you some videos and I sent you, you know, the diversity champion programs through the OSU Extension and the training they're giving to their people.
There appear to be, and one of the training videos that the 4-H people, yeah, the county extension, or that the OSU people are trained on, they're all in there and getting into the lickspittle, down with the woke, I guess it was about Native American, you know, in order to teach kids about 4-H, they had to get into the Native American wokesterism and various others. And it appeared to be taught by a transgender person from the looks of it. Was I wrong, you know, about that?
No, you're correct. That is a male identifying as a woman. He's a male.
Uh-huh.
And teaching our kids about diversity. Well, training, that's a training video for the staff, you know, obviously. And if you keep digging it and digging into this is to get rid of everything to do with Judeo-Christian values and anything that maybe someone else has a different view on.
Okay, I'll give you an example, because all these people that are involved in the OSU Extension and the youth programs here, here's a classic example. It's like every single one of these people involved in this seem to have Marxism just oozing out of their pores in the way they even describe this. Here it is. I'm looking at Ana Lucia Fonseca has a passion for social change and the value that authenticity brings to organizations and the world. Before being an inclusion specialist, she worked as an extension youth development faculty with a specialty in culturally relevant education for youth and families. She's a social psychologist with an MS in forest engineering. And all I'm getting at here, Dwayne, is that what does this have to do, this inclusion thing, with running 4-H and helping the kids learn how to be farmers or animal husbandry? And what does that have to do with any of this at all?
What it has to do with it is they want to change the children's views on the world. That's what, and you know, it's on sex. That there's no longer a sex. It's all about identity and stuff like that. That's exactly what it is. It's not to teach us about, you know, I was in 4-H from fourth grade all the way up until my junior year, because my senior year I couldn't because I went to the military 8 days after graduation. But I raised pigs. That's what I did. I raised pigs. I was in 4-H and FFA. And we learned about raising animals
and taking care of them, and good science of healthy animals. I was in horticulture and stuff like that. That's got nothing to do with your identity. It's got nothing to do with your sexual preferences. It's got nothing to do with that. It's about animals and food and the ecosystem and stuff like that, a forestry.
Yeah, well, here's another person that's in charge of the programs, too, the 4-H. Elsa Fry serves as program representative for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Unit of the OSU Extension Service. Her work focuses on civil rights compliance for county extension offices. I didn't realize we had a civil rights problem with our county extension program. Did you hear?
I didn't know that.
Okay. And also, she's big on services for historically excluded populations. By the way, this is not me making it up. It's from her page, okay?
Yes, I sent those from the OSU website.
Yeah, her professional experience and interests include operationalizing equity and inclusion and creating culturally responsive and inclusive customer service strategies. Now, what does that word salad mean in this when it comes to trying to help kids become farmers and livestock people? And I'm just wondering. Now, she did work for OSU's College of Business. I don't know.
It's hard to explain. As a student coming through 4-H, I don't understand. I mean, what has it got to do with raising a pig, learning how to grow vegetables, or, having bunnies, or whatever it is?
Well, here's another one. Dr. Christy Back, Curriculum and Professional Development Coordinator for the OSU Extension Service Outdoor School Program. After earning a BA in elementary education at Purdue, she spent 6 years teaching environmental education programs and coordinating curriculum development at the Chicago Academy of Sciences. Well, I'm actually hearing some science in this person's background, at least, though.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Yeah. While earning her PhD in entomology at North Carolina State, she organized outreach events in schools, camps, and community. She works with the outdoor school team, formal and non-formal educators at many universities. Okay, to support meaningful outdoor learning experiences. Okay, that sounds kind of innocuous, I guess. That's not the worst that I've seen. Oh, here's another one. Boy, they have a lot of outreach and inclusion. Here's yet another one here, Dwayne. Charissa V. Jones, the Outreach and Inclusion Coordinator for the Oregon State University Extension Service Outdoor School Program. Wow, a cultural and community connector with over 15 years in experience. Originally from Suriname, South America, she's interested in reconnecting folks to their environment by exploring the intersections of culture, equity, diversity, inclusion, justice, and accessibility. So, these are just some of the people who are involved in running the 4-H programs through the county extension agencies. Pretty much, this is what comes
that,
through 4-H?
That is the people at the OSU extension, at OSU itself, that are pushing this stuff down to the lower levels, to our county. And these are the training courses they're putting on. This school program for the summer. Got a lot of DEI, if you look into it, race and culture, how to talk to kids about race and culture, not about animals, not about growing plants and fruit and vegetables. It's about, this is the agenda coming from the top of Oregon, the governor, through the Democratic Party, into the colleges, into everything. And they don't think that we're paying attention, and maybe some people are not. And this is not even talking about the money being spent. I've been trying for a week trying to get the real data of the money being spent down here, which I know we don't have many 4-H kids left.
There's very few. There used to be, 400 or more of them, if I recall correctly, right?
They left. They have a program now that takes anybody. What is that like? A program that'll take anybody that wants to raise animals, do whatever, and there's no judgment. If you believe in God, that's fine. If you don't believe in God, that's fine. If you're here just to learn about agriculture, forestry, or whatever it is, how about that program? They want to push that You know, they want to take religion out of everything, but this is
didn't OSU, didn't the extension agency come out there and having problems with the faith-based 4-H groups? Wasn't that the case? If I recall, I'm spitballing a little bit on that, but that was where this whole problem started, right?
Yeah, Joe's Place, and then another one was he had a cross or something, and I wasn't there. But again, here we are attacking some child with a cross on his shirt, which is, I thought was religion was protected, you know. And maybe
not when you have officers of diversity, equity. These are political officers, essentially, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And what was that one I was just talking about just a few minutes ago? Equity, diversity, inclusion, justice, and accessibility, and environmental and outdoor education. So essentially, it is just a hard left wing political doctrine. And there has been a lot of controversy about this because the county commission in Josephine County has been looking askance at reimposing this property tax, right? Small property tax, but it's a property tax nonetheless, right? Is that pretty much the way we understand it?
Yeah, but I don't, you know, they keep saying, well, the people voted on it, but in 1996, I don't think they voted on to what was today being sold to them. This was for 4-H youth. And the purpose to think about agriculture, economic forestry, it wasn't talking about, well, most of these people complain are master gardeners. And I don't really have anything against
master gardeners either. But and they do, you know, wonderful things. But that's not what Measure 17.58, which the voters passed back in the 1990s, was designed for. I guess they came a little bit later. And so this is why there's this controversy about whether to reimpose the tax or not, correct, from what I understand?
I would say yes. So they're saying, well, the voters passed it. But when the voters passed it in 96, it's not what today's program is being taught to kill children. This is not the same 1996 measure. This has evolved into something more, as we just got done talking about, the DEI stuff. I mean, I found one thing on the OSU website talks about examining white identity. I don't even know what that is.
Okay, now why would the Extension Service need to be involved with identifying white identity? You know, if you're white, you probably know that's your identity. Okay, fine. Okay, I'm white. I can't help it. I was born this way. Deal with it.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know what anything to do with your skin color or your sexuality has to do with raising animals or agriculture or forestry.
Well, apparently, though, the kids and parents have been voting with their feet, and they've left most of this. And where do we go from this, State Rep?
I, you know, if you want to stop DEI and this Marxist stuff, we have to defund it. That's the only way to do. We have to defund it. We have to say, you're not going to pull the wool over our eyes, and we're not going to do this. You're not going to sell this to our kids, and we don't want it. Put it back in the ballot. I guarantee this will fail. This would fail the voters because it's not the 1996 Measure 1758 that was sold to us. You know, and I know the Daily Courier and the Scott Daughters are going after the county commissioners, but I would say there is concern here. You have to be concerned. We see this in the schools. We see this everywhere, and we need to go back to saying no. You're not going to put this onto our kids, and we're not going to pay for it. We need to defund it. That's what we need to do.
Yeah, all right. Once again, I have been I know some people were upset with me when I was talking about library funding and things. It's not that I've ever had a problem with library funding as a rule, even though I didn't vote for it in Jackson County because I thought that, you know, maybe supplying internet would have been a better deal than the library system. That was my personal opinion back at that time. But essentially what is happening in the state of Oregon is that every university-based program, every service that ends up getting provided ends up being incredibly politicized. And I know that the left-wing critics here in Southern Oregon cannot or do not wish to see this. If this was just providing, you know, animal husbandry and how to garden and how to do 4-H. Well, when I was in 4-H, I was only in 4-H for a year or two when I was a kid, Dwayne. And what I did is that I had a project on first aid. I studied first aid in that. I didn't live on a farm, and that was great. But nobody talked about this diversity, equity, and inclusion and white identity. It was just like, come to the club, learn, have fun with the kids, and life was good. And it's like the left takes everything and politicizes it here in the state of Oregon, and in the process destroys its reason for existing for these kids here in Southwest Oregon. And the parents have been voting with their feet on this.
Yes. And our kids deserve a childhood that doesn't push this stuff on them. Let them be children. Let them, you know, and the reason why they're doing it is because they know they're molding these children. They're molding their brains. They're not, young children are not developed until their mid-20s, and they're trying to push this on the children so they can have more little communist soldiers out there, Marxist soldiers, voting the way they want to. That's what they're doing. They're stealing our children's youth away.
I appreciate you bringing the attention here because I know that the county commission has come under fire for that, and we'll probably talk more with Herman and others next week about that. But there is a reason why they've been looking askance at this. First of all, it hasn't been, I don't know, maybe what the thing to do is to just put a new one on the ballot for just funding the Master Gardeners and leave it at that. What do you think about that? The Master Gardener program.
I am always up for putting it back on the ballot. Let the people vote. If they want to fund it, they will. If they don't, it will go away. That's a fair thing. I think Measure 1758 is failed. It's no longer valid today. And let the people go, hey, this is what we're willing to pay for, or we're not willing to pay for it. You know, and I look at that as a lot of things. Let the people decide. I would take it right out of the commissioner's hands and go, we're going to put it back on the ballot this fall and let the people decide if they want to continue to fund a program that could be, teaching stuff to their children that they're not okay with, and let them decide. That's how it is. That's how go with that.
We're also witnessing here, Dwayne, State Representative Dwayne Junker is here. A number of years ago, the state legislature, I think that it was the state legislature, I forget which how this came from, probably had to come this way, ended up voting to make the Oregon State University system, or the state university system, a agency, a state agency. So you end up having all of this government-to-government politicized pushing of agendas into our local communities. And the OSU Extension agency, once again, is another example of this. What a mistake that was made, making the state university system a state agency, because this is the kind of stuff which is coming out of academia right now to our kids in Southwest Oregon and elsewhere.
You're correct. There was a challenge here. I didn't bring it up to my colleagues in my caucus in the state, but another rep did, and asked them why they voted first. And all of them were there at that time. And it's like a blank stare. They didn't think ahead that this was going to come to what it is. And they used the word bipartisan. It just kills me. Just to go off a little bit last night, I was at that stupid fire mapping thing. I'm really pissed off about that thing. And, the first sentence out of the guy's mouth, and, we're not here to talk about that, but bipartisan. And I just was just.
Yeah, bipartisan meaning that a Democrat bill was passed with some non-thinking Republicans. That's what it means.
Exactly. And that's the same thing. This is when they start passing the DEI, I don't know if it's 21 or what year it was, and Republicans voted for it. And I'm like, why? Why would you vote for this discriminatory stuff? And
because they might write mean editorials about us. I don't know. That's the only reason I could come up with. All right, Dwayne, we'll have you back. But yeah, I think there's a reason why parents in Josephine County have been walking out of the 4-H program and taking their children elsewhere. And all you have to do is scratch the surface of the Oregon State University Extension Service and the OSU's extension, the influence, the agenda, in this, that they're not helping kids become farmers. They're really political indoctrination pods, and that's not right. That's not right, and I don't think it's what the voters voted for in Josephine County. So we'll see where you go on that. We'll have you back. All right.